somehow, within all that chaos, well, what happened? I mean, how did you... Did someone pick you up? Church van swooped you up? Or what happened?
That's somewhat of an interesting story in itself. My brother, the same one who took his own life, came to know Jesus. And he was hanging out at this farm just outside of Detroit with a gentleman by the name of Chuck Fields. I remember him well. Jesus freaks, as they used to call him back then. Jesus hippies. They had different names for him. We'd listen to Godspell. They would smoke a joint and have Bible study, right?
Yeah.
Dude, man, look, open up Matthew.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
So I was only 15. They wouldn't let me drink or smoke or anything else. Right. But man, do they love Jesus. And a personal relationship with Jesus. So not the religious kind. It was a personal relationship.
Yeah.
And they shared with me about God and
Jesus. Is this part going to be in the movie?
I sure hope so. I don't know.
I do too.
I do.
That's going to mess with some people's theology.
You better mention. I'm okay with that. I am okay with that. Because it is about a relationship.
All right. So we're here with Mark Goodman. And I had weird names for you last time you came in here. And I'm not going to do that to you this time.
The doctor, the mister, forgiveness, the doctor, forgiveness. That's right, the sage.
That was one.
I like just Mr. Forgiveness.
Mr. Forgiveness.
It's not a high title or anything else. It's just one of those dudes that believes in forgiveness.
This is kind of an impromptu thing, which is kind of like my thing. I being creative, I kind of can't do things the same way every time, you know, so I got to switch
it
up. I
like that about you.
So I hit you up and you're like, yeah, let's do it. Mm-hmm. And then you brought a crew and we're international in here.
Yeah, we got Mayel from France joined us.
Yeah.
Mark Green from 70x7.
Yeah, and Mayel's petting my dog, whose name is Paris.
Yes.
It's a little irony in there. Yeah?
Yeah, we miss you.
Yeah. If anyone knows you, they know that you've been on this path for a while, getting the nonprofit, your feature film, and everything that goes within all of that. And a lot of people have learned about your story through your testimony through North Point. So North Point, when someone gives a testimony, they do these great video kind of things.
Phenomenal.
Yeah. And my dog's wagging his tail. And so they do these great video breakdowns. And so you shared your story. And that kind of opened the gates for a lot of people because they were able to see and identify with your story, and a lot of what you went through and the path that you took to get through that, it resonates with a lot of people.
Absolutely.
Because forgiveness was a very key component to that.
My name is Mark Goodman. I was raised in Detroit, the youngest of four boys. Our parents struggled with alcohol, and my brothers and I suffered unimaginable abuses from our father. We would get away from the house as much as possible, and while getting away in the summer at age 15 with my brother and his Jesus hippie friend, they shared with me what it meant to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and I accepted him in my heart. I graduated from high school, no opportunity to go to college, and our home life in chaos. My brother and I left Detroit to go live homeless in the streets and beaches of LA for almost a year. I have great memories of that time since being homeless was more peaceful than what we had back at home. I got married, had a beautiful little girl, and life was moving along when on January 3rd of 86, my brother, the same one who led me to the Lord, called me while in the process of taking his own life. It was about that time that my parents sobered up and turned their lives over to Jesus Christ. For the last 23 years of his life, my dad, whom I once viewed as a monster, turned into one of the most wonderful, loving, and godly men I've ever met. I know through Jesus Christ that I've been forgiven, and through him, I've learned to forgive. The road may have been tough at times, and it may have taken me a while to learn, but thanks to God, I've learned what it means to be renewed in Christ. And it's because of God's forgiveness and grace, my life is so wonderful, and for that, I am so grateful. Life is so good, God is so good. I'd like to thank my beautiful wife, Laura, my many small groups, the North Point production team, and my dad. Yes, my dad, who taught me that you're never too old or have done too much bad to find God's forgiveness and grace. I'm here today to tell the world that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior.
So that's That's the basis of the story. I could have been bitter and held on to that anger.
Right.
And I chose a path of forgiveness. But I didn't deal with the consequences of those bottling up, putting up walls, as a lot of people do when they
right.
go through.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that I didn't deal with until just a few years ago, three, 4 years ago.
Okay.
And so I'm coming out with the book. It's being pitched this fall.
Mm-hmm.
And a big part of it is not dealing with just forgiving the offense and the offender, but dealing with the consequences as we put up walls to protect ourselves and have years of bad relationships and all sorts of other issues that come from being hurt.
Right.
And hanging on to that pain, shame, and blame for so long
right.
that those consequences by hanging on to that
right.
end up being a lot of times worse than the act itself.
So you found a lot of freedom in the process of reconciling with your father, 2.0.
Absolutely. Huge. Yeah.
But after this reconciliation, then began this road to, I guess, recovery in a sense, where then you started dealing with your own
consequences of it. Because I spent years before forgiving my dad, spent years of dealing with those bad issues and hanging on to those bad issues.
Right.
I never forgave my dad for those consequences.
Right.
And so that's what I like to talk about in the book. And that's what we're dealing with in the documentary.
Mm-hmm.
The movie, the made for into the full feature movie, will probably not cover that. They have to make it interesting based on a true story.
Right.
So that's being done by a third-party production company on their own with the movie and the documentary.
Yeah. So was I right in my timeline that you reconciled with your father and then...
And then dealt with those other issues.
Okay, let me ask you.
Sure.
What did Jesus do? Where's Jesus in that?
Oh, my goodness. Well, first of all, and I know I never would have made it as far as I had if not Jesus weren't part of that picture.
Right.
Because when I was 15, in the middle of all that chaos is when I came to know the Lord. And, I mean, that was just phenomenal in the first part of having God to... lead me, to hold on to me, to keep me in safety during that period of time.
Yeah. Was this when you were in L.A.?
Before L.A.
This
was right in the middle of all that chaos.
Yeah.
So I was still at home and all that stuff was going on.
Somehow, within all that chaos, well, what happened? I mean, how did someone pick you up? Church van swooped you up? Or what happened?
That's somewhat of an interesting story in itself. My brother, the same one who took his own life, came to know Jesus. And he was hanging out at this farm just outside of Detroit with a gentleman by the name of Chuck Fields. I remember him well. Jesus freaks, as they used to call him back then. Jesus hippies. They had different names for him. We'd listen to Godspell. They would smoke a joint and have Bible study, right?
Yeah.
Dude, man, look, open up Matthew.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
So I was only 15. They wouldn't let me drink or smoke or anything else.
Right.
But man, do they love Jesus and a personal relationship with Jesus. So not the religious kind. It was a personal relationship.
Yeah.
And they shared with me about God and
Jesus. Is this part going to be in the movie?
I sure hope so. I don't know. I do.
That's going to mess with some people's theology.
You better bet you. And that's, I'm okay with that. I am okay with that. Because it is about a relationship.
Yeah.
And too many people forget that. They look at it as what we have as Christians is a religion. And it's not. It is about a relationship.
Right.
And that relationship with my Heavenly Father protected me.
Yeah.
Now, I got away, like so many of those stories, got away from the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
But in 2014, I got into a small group. And in a small group setting, for those of you who don't know, often they have you share your story.
Yeah.
Right? And often people share the story, well, I did this, I did that. Ooh, you know, big deal. The first guy gets up in a story. He just throws up.
Uh-huh.
I mean, when I say throw up, I mean emotionally throws up his real story. And I was just in awe that he shared all the transparency.
Yeah.
Was so awesome.
Fantastic.
And I'd been holding on to these secrets for
Thank God for him to set that bar, right?
He did.
Yeah.
And finally, I take my wife to the side, and I said, in our small group, I'm going to tell my story. And I'm going to share stuff I've never told anybody, including you, my wife. I don't want you to hear it in somebody's living room.
Yeah.
Blah.
Right.
And I shared. And just giving an example of some of the emotional baggage, although I forgave the offender and the offended...
Yeah.
I was addicted to chaos, almost like PTSD, form of PTSD. Mm. I loved it when things were in turmoil, good and bad.
Yeah.
I worked at a job where I would travel 2,000 miles per week. Got to catch this flight, catch that flight. That spreadsheet needs to go out. Oh, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
When everything was calm, everything's good. Bills are paid. Life is good. I'd sink into depression.
Yeah. That's interesting. That sounds a little bit like a drug addict would kind of functions in that same way.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Because I was raised in chaos. That's what I'm comfortable with. That's what I'm used to.
Yeah.
Right? And I'd never dealt with it. Never dealt with it. And so that's just one of the many examples of forgiving my dad for that and then dealing with it. I'm comfortable in the silence and the calm now.
Yeah. Wow. Truly?
Truly.
Yeah. I'm not quite comfortable in the calm. I got a little that shoe drop scenario still hangs out.
Oh, one of my favorite songs is by 21 Pilots called Car Radio.
Oh,
and
yeah.
That car radio breaks and he's stuck in the silence.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I just love that song.
Yeah. All right, so you make this, you say you're comfortable in the peace.
That's correct.
So either I'm going, okay, bull.
Right.
Or how are you comfortable? What practical disciplines are you instituting that keep you there?
It's even hard to explain that. So it's much of this is a God thing. This is where Jesus steps in here. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
So it really is.
You're talking about a spiritual experience.
Spiritual experience.
Yeah.
Because of the fact of, I worked at it. I realized that it was a problem. I prayed for it. Mm-hmm. My wife to this day can't imagine because I loved to travel. You got to realize that I could, there was a time, a good portion of my life where I could just live on the road. I could live out of hotel rooms for the rest of my life. And I was comfortable with that from one city to the next.
Yeah.
Seeing new things, trying new foods, meeting new people. That was my life. Loved it. Now I love being at home. I absolutely love being home. I don't want to travel.
Yeah.
My wife is just still to this day can't quite figure that out because I can't quite figure it out either.
Right.
Now, I'm still an extrovert, right? I'm not an introvert. So extroverts draw energy from around. So often I'll, instead of working at a home in a quiet office, I at a Starbucks.
Right.
But how to explain that somehow or another I'm comfortable in the peace is just being comfortable in the fact of I am a damaged person. I trust the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
I trust I got my part to do and give God the rest. I've got my part to do.
Yeah.
Give God the rest.
Yeah.
And it's as simple as that for me.
Yeah.
And I forgive my dad for what he did. I forgive my dad for who he did, what he did. And I'd forgive my dad for having years of this stuff going on inside of my head.
Well, it sounds like you're comfortable accepting the grace of God.
Absolutely.
I just had a conversation with a friend about this that recently, like, we haven't been super busy, right? Mm-hmm. I've been a guy that's been on the go, like 100 miles an hour, pedal to the metal.
Right.
And now I'm not. And so I'm very uncomfortable in that situation.
Okay.
And so what I had was a revelation to say, wow, I can't even chill for a couple days. Something has to be going. And I thought, man, if I have a hard time with that, how well am I really receiving the grace of God? And I guess it's kind of the scandal of grace, right? And really what people reject is this idea that, wait, it's okay. I'm okay. You're picking up the slack. You're filling the gap, right? And so it sounds to me like you've come to an understanding to say, you know, I'm accepting God's grace. And that's kind of giving you a pathway to peace.
I'm quite comfortable with it. And I often thought that I was one that was screwed up. Uh-huh. And I've realized that I'm not the only one. And we are flawed individuals. And I'm comfortable with God picking up the slack on the difference.
Yeah.
And not only am I comfortable with it, it feels great.
Right.
So here's one for you. Have you ever sat in a Starbucks and you're feeling you got all those things going through your head and you're feeling I'm screwed up and you look around and this person's got their act together and they're wearing these nice clothes and they pulled up their Mercedes and I'm the one that's messed up now. Only to find out through this nonprofit and through this ministry, this work that I'm working on for forgiveness, that all of us are feeling that way. So that person sitting on the other side is looking over at the bald guy with the big smile saying, man, he's got his act together. I'm the one that screwed up. And we're all playing the same game, right? Well, you know what? We're all flawed.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
So it's something about the transparency, especially us guys. What we tend to do is, hey, how you doing? Good. How's work? Yeah. Right. How's the family?
Right.
How about those Falcons? All right. Good. We're tight.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. No, to take off that mask and say, This is the real me.
Yeah. Well, and what I've noticed is men don't know how to be friends. You know, there's several relationships, because I feel very intentional about reaching out. I feel like that's my, much like how what you do in here, I feel like reaching out to people, talking to people is very key. I think it creates the environment for them to be able to open up. And it's so surprising how bad they are at being friends.
Well, when you say friends, a lot of people that are watching this right now say, yeah, but I've got male friends.
Your friend, yeah.
I got friends.
Hey,
I got
buddy,
friends.
Why are you mad at me?
Right. Right.
Yeah.
But that's not what you're talking about.
That's not what I'm talking about.
Right.
I'm talking about a real relationship.
A real relationship. They know the real Christian.
Yeah.
Good, right. Bad, or other way. Often, if I open up that Pandora's box, you're not going to like me.
Right.
Ooh.
Right. Yeah.
I'm doing, and Facebook, a lot of Facebook people hide behind Facebook. I can be, you know, I'm doing well. I've got this. I've
yes.
got that. Right.
Right. Right. Or we take the best parts of all the people that are in our feed and we assemble some super fake human and then we compare ourselves to that.
It's really cool about it is through this of sharing and taking my mask off and sharing the real mark, the flawed mark, is people are throwing up on me in the sense that they're telling me stories that they've been holding on to for years and they've never told anybody.
Right.
And they've been carrying around this backpack of pain, shame, and blame.
Right.
It finally says, hey,
yeah,
I've been carrying this around in tears. Just, I've never shared this with anybody.
Right.
And it's so refreshing, the freedom that's found in forgiveness.
Right.
Because often we think, if I let you go, if I forgive you, if I can't let this go. If I forgive you, somehow or another, I said, it's okay what you did to me. And it's not.
Right.
And it doesn't make you weak. Actually, it makes you stronger. It doesn't make you out of control. It puts you in control.
Right.
You're, as long as you're carrying this around, they've moved on. You're still the victim.
Right. It's a paradox, which I'm finding is that it's like when you let go, then you get control. It's a
you
weird.
You get control. It's
when
a
you
weird
finally
thing.
Accept and surrender. The thing that you really want is when you end up getting what you really want. It's
so
whole...
often when somebody's got a really, really big item to forgive, I'll have them start on a smaller item. Just set that aside for a while. Set that aside.
Yeah.
Get a little taste of it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So you have kind of stepped out and in your own started reaching out to people. I'm sure as people started calling you, hey, I got this forgiveness problem.
Yeah.
So... is that what kind of prompted this? How do you get from just taking calls, working your job, and doing that to 501-3, doing this whole process? What prompted you to go that route?
I wish I could tell you.
Yeah.
So that's, again, it's really more of a God thing. It kind of merged into that. I went to share my story with some people who do videos and production.
Yeah.
Right? To do like a 15-minute YouTube version of it. They heard my story and they said, no, this is not a YouTube. We want to make a full motion picture and a documentary out of it. So they were working on it. So if you go to forgivingagoodman.com, making fun of my last name, forgivingagoodman.com. Right? That is that's their site.
Yeah.
So that they're working on the movie and the documentary. So I've taken it and then gotten with.
It's a movie and a documentary.
Yeah, the movie is based on a true story. Nobody wants to hear a story. Mark was born in Detroit, and you know, blah blah blah. Nobody wants to see a story like that.
Right.
So they're taking parts of it and then make it into a. So they're working on story development right now. So I have no idea what it's going to end up being.
And also doing a documentary with that.
The documentary, they're finally like, this is being filmed right now by documentary people, right? That'll be added to it. That will tell the whole and the complete story. God will be in that one. The movie, they don't want to make a boring Christian film. It isn't.
Yeah.
It'll have forgiveness and redemption, but not. And meanwhile, right in the book, so I've done all my part, handed off to, I guess you'd call it a ghostwriter, all my 2 years worth of notes.
Yeah.
He's finishing up the book. And that'll